Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 is where we kind of picked up last week. And so before I start speaking, I want to just take a moment to invite Holy Spirit here to be our teacher. And Father, we are so grateful that we can call on you at any time and that you are present all the time. And even now, Father, I pray that you would calm my heart and that I would be able to bring to mind the things that I've studied. And that you, Holy Spirit, would take the words of your word and teach us how to become more like you. And that where there is sin, that we would confess. Where there is lack of knowledge, that you would help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Accomplish your good work no matter where we are in our journey with you today. I just present this to you, Father, as an offering and trust that you will accomplish all that you want to. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the technology and help it not to be a distraction for me, but that it would just all work together in Jesus' name. Amen. Already had technical problem here, one already, because my phone is not hooking up to my computer, so. Yeah. I'm not even touching the internet, okay? So that was a disaster last time I tried to do that, so. Okay, we're going to do something here different. Nope, that's a long cord. All right, we're going to whip this cat. Oh, now it decides to connect. Just going like, golly. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 8. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a quick review, for especially for those of you who have not... who were not here last time on this particular passage. And so some key highlights to that. And I'm just going to kind of scroll quickly through these slides. In verse 3, it says, His divine power is granted to us all things to pertain to life and godliness. And that one of the key words there, as you can see, is all. It's not just some of the things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so there's everything we need, we already have. This is the key point to this particular passage. We have everything we need right now. It's not like we got to go looking for it. Okay? So I use this, and to bring to your mind, and those of you who didn't see it, I use the illustration, I used our little friend, what was her name? Elena. Yeah, I used Elena, and I put that sweatshirt. I took one of my sweatshirts, okay, and I put it on Elena, you know, little Elena and everything, and she disappeared inside of it. And what that was illustrating is how that she, in order to properly wear that, she has to grow into it, okay? And it's the same way with the Christian life, is we have to grow into these things. That life and godliness, we have to grow into it. And so this passage here is showing us how we can grow into it. And that's what this list, as we look through here, is these are the things that we can do. But he's given them to us already, but we got to grow into it. We got to grow up. We got to mature. And so... So that's the gist of the passage right there. And sorry. This is a key word too, is knowledge. We'll see it like either 5 or 7 times, I think it is. It's a very key point. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And we talked about the very great and precious promises, and we talked about how that the promises are so huge, but they're also so valuable, okay? So valuable. They're great and large, okay? And these promises that God has given us enables us to be able to take on the divine nature that we have. And then my brother Michael was talking about this morning. We were talking, and if you don't come to Sunday school, there's some good stuff that's going on Sunday morning before church. So you can try to make it here in the morning. There was some good stuff he talked about this morning, and just talk about in James chapter 1, verse 27, about being unstained from the world. And this is one of the things is that having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, and we have to be able to identify. Because even sometimes it's not real clear as to how much we should be participating in the things of the world. And so that's why it's very important that we are educating ourselves and growing in Him so that we can understand what is it the things that we should be participating in and how much of it, so that we can protect and guard our own hearts and our own lives and we can walk free. So, for this very reason, what reason? Well, there was like five reasons, okay? Because he gives all the things that we need for life and godliness, because it's for his honor and glory, because he has given us his promises, because we can be partakers of the divine nature, because we can escape the corruption of the world. Those are the five reasons that we should be doing what verse 5 is telling us to do. For this very reason, those five reasons, make every effort. Effort, strong work, effort, get after it, okay? This is not a thing where you just sit back on the couch and put your Bible on your head and hope something soaks in, okay? It's not how it works. We have to put effort into it, okay? So we're being challenged to do what, okay? And it's not subtle, it's active. We got to make every active, we got to add to our faith, okay? And remember what we said was our faith was a collection of beliefs. But we also said it's the trust that we have in God, okay? And those things need to be added to, both of those things. And how do we do that? And we're not going to talk a lot about how to add on these first three or four items in this list, because we talked about it last night. It would take me way too long, and I know that you guys have got food at home in the oven waiting to be consumed. So but we are to be active in what we add to our faith. Growing in our faith doesn't just happen. It's something we join him in growing. And what are we supposed to add? We're supposed to add virtue. Okay, this is a moral excellence and integrity. I'm just going to zip through these guys. We're supposed to add virtue. We're supposed to add knowledge. Okay, and we talked about how to do those things. We're supposed to be adding self-control. Okay, and then we're adding steadfastness. And steadfastness was the last one. Okay, that was the last one that we covered last week. And so we're moving into the next one. Godliness, okay? Godliness, okay? So when we look at this passage here, it's telling us to actively add to our faith. Oh, thanks, brother. To add godliness, okay? Godliness means to have a right attitude about God and others. Godliness is having a right attitude about God and about others. And, you know, there's a balance of you know, Jesus calls us his friends, okay? And I grew up in a tradition that made God, you know, like a God with a hammer in his hand, okay? And he was ready just to thump on you, you know? And that was my perception of God. And so when I began to grow in my faith, I began to see that this was a loving father. He was a kind father. And there were things about the attributes about the father that are just amazing and wonderful. And then you read it where he says, when you pray, okay, and you have received the spirit of adoptions of sons, whereby you might be able to say, Abba, Father. That's a real personal. Right? Is that a real personal name? Abba, Daddy. Okay? But then what happens is, and I'm not going to say this is that what you've done, but this is what I've done, is I kind of grew into this place where I became really familiar with God. And some of that respect and that awe was lost. What I was grown up with, not the fear, I'm not talking about the fear. What I'm talking about is having a proper respect that he is God and I am not. And there's a balance and a tension there that we have to have. And so how do we add those things? So what's our attitude towards people? Okay, do we have a godly attitude? It's really, we were talking about this morning about having a judgmental attitude and a value. I like to evaluate people, not judge them. You know, and I found that when I start evaluating what other people are doing, I'd be like, man, it's not even a slippery slope. That's a slide. And it goes, your heart goes downhill really quickly, putting yourself in a far superior attitude to somebody else. And is that the right attitude to have? And so godliness is having the right attitude towards God. There's a right respect, an honor. You know, one of the things that I started to do just to kind of try to shift my heart a little bit. It was in when I was journaling and I would refer to Papa or I would refer to my father. I would always capitalize always the letters in his name. I just trained myself to do that, to kind of start trying to shift myself to go back the other way. That's how I'm trying to have a right attitude towards God. And in some ways, I have to remind myself the truths about how God feels about other people, about people. And then adopt and reflect how he feels about people in my own life. Father, help me. Help me to have the same attitude that you have towards people. So what's his attitude towards people? How do I add this? First Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while the bodily training is of some value, godliness is of a value in every way, and it holds promise to come to the present life and also to the life to come. So, When I first saw this a while back, this is where I started looking at the term godliness. I'm like, what is that? God-likeness? I want to be like God. Well, like, wait a minute. That sounds like Isaiah and Satan, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to go down that road. Excuse me. So, rather train yourself for godliness. And that's when I began to understand it was having a correct and a right attitude about God, my Father. And a right attitude towards people. And we have to train ourselves. And when we think of the word training, and we talked a little bit about this last time, is that athletes, when they train, it becomes automatic, right? I mean, they get out on the field and their actions on it's everything that they've done, all their training, all of their practicing, it just becomes automatic. They're not even thinking about it. Their body has a physical memory because they've done through those motions so many times. Okay? And it's the same principle here. It's training ourselves to respond to situations. So having a godly attitude towards another person, how have I trained myself that in when somebody is critical of me that I don't return the same criticism? How do I not repay evil for evil? There's an automatic response of love towards that person, not criticism. But I have the responsibility of training myself, of recognizing when I've have an improper attitude towards somebody else and immediately turning to God and repenting of my attitude, turning around and going like, I will think differently. I won't, as Michael was saying, spin it around in our heads, thinking about it all the time. You guys missed a lot this morning. So, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Every way. So, we add to our faith godliness. So, the next thing that we add is brotherly kindness. This is a concerned caring for others. I don't think I've ever been a part of a church that where I've seen so much care. Just the care that you guys have for each other and how that you pray for each other. And churches are so polished these days that they don't take the time to be able to hear what's going on in the body. And then to bring those things to the Lord together as a community. And I think that's just really powerful. So how do I add this brotherly affection? Years ago, there was a book put out by Gary Smalley. I don't know if you know that author, but it was The Love Languages. And this is something I taught our teenagers over and over and over again. You know, trying to cultivate in our heart a love for somebody else. And they had five different ways to be able to love each other well. They're very practical, very, very practical. I'm really a practical type guy. And so I really grabbed onto those. And, you know, and there's physical touch, you know. Some people like physical touch. Some people are really huggy. Some people are going like, stay away, you know. Don't touch me with that physical stuff. But other people like quality time. Right? They like it's and it's sometimes quality comes with quantity. They want to spend a lot of time with you. You know? And so when we understand those love languages, okay, and how people give and receive, because how I give love to somebody else will not necessarily be the same way that I receive. And so when we understand the different ways that people can receive love from me, I need to be also aware of how I give love and how they receive love best. Because for you to go up and give somebody a big hug who doesn't really like to be hugged is not really saying, I love you. This is more about me giving you a hug than it is about you receiving what you need, that you're getting love from me. That makes sense? Yeah. And so how do we add brotherly kindness? Well, it's becoming aware. It's becoming aware of people around me and what they need. Hospitality is a huge one. Opening your home. my daughter has a real hospitable heart. And she's looking forward to the day when she has her house built so that she can, because she lives in a very small mobile home right now with her family, and there's just no room for anybody in there. And she's looking forward to the day that she can do that. Where they're attending, they're finding that a lot of people don't like to have people over to their house anymore. And go like, that's so sad. That is so sad because there's so much that can be received inside of a home. And so practicing hospitality, being ready to receive people and inviting people into your home, it's just a whole nother level of showing brotherly kindness. And so we add, we're to be intentional about this, not just hope it's going to happen, or, I hope somebody's going to show me some brotherly kindness. But how can I show brotherly kindness to others? Okay? So, the next one. Love. There we go. We've just now reached the end of the list. Can you believe it? We're making good time today. So, now this love, and I forgot to mention this, with the brotherly kindness, that word that it used there was phileo. Okay, that's the Greek word. And I think that you guys have gotten you guys have gotten that well taught in this group. Everybody knows the difference between phileo and agape. That's the God kind of love, okay? That's love at a whole nother level, okay? Completely self-sacrificing. Let's look at God's example for us. How does he give? How does he love? So, how do I add this God kind of love? That's a hard one in some ways. To really love like God loves. You know, I think about how many times I take advantage of God's love. I take it for granted. I know that sometimes when somebody takes advantage of my love, how I feel. I don't feel good. We won't mention those things right now. Right? When we're taken advantage of, it hurts. It hurts. And when we get hurt, we want to hurt back. So recognizing the kind of self-sacrificing, God extraordinary, extraordinary kind of love that he has. This is where I want to kind of I want to take us to just very quickly, and I think I've got a leg to stand on here. Okay, if we go to Galatians chapter 5, you don't have to go there because you guys know this. You guys know the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. Okay, because I always get the last three wrong. That's why I said etc. But it's always a little bit baffling to me as to why did it say the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I may be wrong. I've looked in some commentaries. Some commentaries say this. Some don't even draw attention to it. But the fruit of the Spirit being singular is that I do believe that I think that they're highlighting one thing. It's love. It's love. It's a love that is filled with joy. It is a love that is filled with peace. It's a love that is filled with kindness. There's a love that's filled with gentleness. That's God kind of love. And when you look at that list and you see how love is filled with all those things, you go like, wow, that is some kind of love. Now, I'm not totally out to lunch in saying this, because when you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what does it say? Love is patient. Love is kind. Oh, those words sound familiar. Oh, maybe some of those things that are in that list are also in this list over here. We've got some common characteristics here. That love is kind. A love that is filled with kindness. That's the God kind of love. And I'm going like, Lord, I'm not a very gentle person. I can be harsh and demanding. And Lord, just, I need you to help me to see where I don't measure up to your kind of love, and fill me with that love. And bring your heart to him. So, now we have all the characteristics. Now, we're going to go into verse 8. For if these qualities are yours... What qualities? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Okay? If these qualities are yours. Okay? are yours. Now, okay, I've got them. Okay. And increasing. That's the key word right there. And increasing. This is not just something that stays at a certain level. This is something that is constantly going. Remember the sweatshirt? Okay? I think the sweatshirt is a lot bigger than we think it is. Sometimes we think that we've arrived. I've got there. Okay? My hands are sticking out now. But that thing's way bigger than what you think it is. And the older you grow in Him, you begin to realize, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface on some of these things. Wow. He's just so deep. He's so broad. He's so wide and high. We miss it. And we minimize. And we begin to put God on the same level. Oh, little time for godliness. Having a right attitude towards God. Right perspective. So, if these qualities are yours and increasing, that's an active, growing experience. It's not static. Okay? Constant. Constant. For if these qualities are yours, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two key words. Which key words are they? Yeah, that's right. I underlined them just to help you out a little bit there. Okay, going, man, I wish you were a teacher like for me in high school. You underlined all the answers for me. So, ineffective, idle, and lazy. I hate those words. Idle and lazy. They keep you from being idle and lazy. Everybody, every man has to answer for themselves between you and God if you're being idle and being lazy. And when I was a kid, I knew what lazy was. Because my mom and dad told me that. You're just being lazy. Now, I'm not accused of very often being lazy and idle. But you know what? We can become idle in our minds. We can become idle in our minds. What do we entertain our minds with? How often do we go there? Oh, I just need some me time. Oh, give me some me time on my phone. How much time do we spend on these things? And I'm not here to judge you, okay? Because like I said, everybody has to answer to the Lord for their own walks, not me. But I know I can get lost on Facebook Messenger, writing all my friends. I can get lost in Facebook. I can get lost on all those other social media things for hours. And have become idle and lazy. And I get to the end of my day and I go, like, what did I do with my day? Where did it go? I call it falling in the Facebook hole. Face first, feet up in the air. Okay? We fall down so deep my time cannot be redeemed. That's one thing that God gives to us that we cannot, you spend it. There's no getting it back. And so how are we investing our time? When you are adding these qualities, they keep you from being idle and lazy. So if we're thinking about these qualities, set your mind on the things that are above, on the priorities that God has. If your mind is set on the flesh, you will do the things of the flesh. But if your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, you will do the things of the Spirit. It's not to say that you can't ever do anything for yourself, okay? But I think we in America, and I was dialoguing with my wife over this. I go like, wow, you know, coming from Africa, and living in Africa for a while, where, you know, not everybody's got one of these guys. And you just look at them and you just go like, wow, they just got nothing. But you know what? They can be idle too. But our wealth in our country, I think it should say something to us that we have become so self-consumed. We've become so self-consumed. And there's a lot of my African brothers and sisters who got nothing. But wow, do they have good hearts for each other. But our wealth has done some significant damage to us. It's so easy to become self-consumed here. So, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective, unfruitful. Okay, unfruitful means barren or unproductive. Okay? I have chosen you and appointed you that you would go bear fruit and bear fruit that would remain. There's something about the works that we do, and at the end of time, it's going to be tried by fire. And what remains, what was done for him will remain, and what wasn't, poof, gone. I've got a feeling that a lot of my stuff in my life is going to be poof, gone. It's going to be smoke. So, barren and unproductive. If these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being barren and unproductive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that I want to highlight here is the fact that, you know, it tells us to add to our faith knowledge. It's one of the things that we add to our faith is knowledge. Knowledge in itself is not necessarily that great. Knowledge, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, tells us knowledge puffs up. I can know a lot of things. So knowledge by itself. And I think what it's talking about here about being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it helps us to be able to take that knowledge and put some feet to it. To how does it work in real life? Not just become head stuff. And that's sometimes what happens with Bible studies and things like that, is it just all becomes about facts, but doesn't help us get our feet on the ground and start moving in a direction and become fruitful. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities, okay, so now it's going on the other side. It's saying, if you have these qualities, but if you lack these qualities, okay, these qualities is so nearsighted, he's blind. That's pretty nearsighted, isn't it? Being blind, meaning you can't see. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. What's that got to do with anything? Well, we forget where we came from. We forget who we used to be before Christ. And we're blind. And we can't see anything. And the last verse is, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Be all the more diligent. Okay? Peter's again taking another poof at it. He's going like, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, that you are truly in Christ. You know, there are times in our lives that sometimes we wonder, does God hear me? Is he there, or am I a believer? Am I a follower of Christ? Is this Well, I would say that that should challenge your heart to begin adding some things to your faith. Remember, if you use your faith, remember we said faith was like a muscle? And if you don't use it, you lose it. Not that you lose your faith, you just don't have the strength of trust. It's a weakness. Yeah, it's good. So, if you practice these qualities, you'll never fail. You confirm your calling and your election. These things here bring assurance. Romans chapter 8 says, His Spirit witnesses with our spirits that we are the sons of God. Is there any doubt that you can know? 1 John 5:13, I've written these things to you that you may know that you are the Son of God. You can know it. You can know it. But there's times in life it can be so overwhelming. And we start to drift and we just kind of go into automatic pilot and just kind of take it as it comes. And pretty soon we go like, man, I don't even feel like God's very close. I wonder if I even have a relationship with Him. Well, it's probably because we become static in our walks. And then we begin to doubt. Is He even there? And so I think that that's what Peter's trying to go like, say, hey, I want you to be fruitful, you know? And it says, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. I'm like, well, I haven't quite gotten to the never fall part yet. There's so much for me to learn. There's so much. And it's just like every week, it seems like there's always something else. So I guess the never falling part is kind of like that target that I'm always constantly shooting for. You know? I go like, Lord, someday maybe I won't fail in 10 minutes. You know? But that's the hopeful. That's He sets that out for us. And if everything was perfectly aligned and everything worked all together as the Spirit worked through our life, we would never fall. There's this other part of us that is still being redeemed. And that life is being given to our body by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 again. And so I present these things to you that you would consider. And that you would be able to experience a fruitful life. A life that is filled with His love. And the last thought, and this is just a thought, because, and I told Kara, I said, I'm just going to share with him real quick. This is a musing that I have, okay? This is like, and this list that you see there, faith, it starts with faith and ends with love. There's two qualities right there that are listed in a couple other places. It's a triad. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Well, it doesn't list hope in this verse. But I wonder, when we add to our faith steadfastness and self-control, I wonder, does that produce any kind of hope in me? It's just a thought. Because that faith, hope, and love is, it's in a lot of other places in the New Testament. And I'm just wondering, it's just a thought out there that I submit that to you, and you can throw it out the window if you want. But that's, so I think this is where the scary part comes, where I get to ask if anybody has any questions. Questions or comments or input? Yes, Bev.
Yes. Down in verse 11, it talks about our entrance into the eternal kingdom, which we might see as our hope. It's referred that way in other scriptures.
Sure.
So it's just there in disguise.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things in Scripture that are disguised sometimes. Just to dig a little deeper. Yes?
I think the purpose of fruit is to produce seed. And seed that can reproduce the fruit. And so I think that's part of how our fruit remains. Is if we have those fruits, then we're producing seed that then is reproduced.
That will grow and grow. Keep on perpetuating. Yeah, good. Good. Yes.
Oh, years ago, I was working to the Lord, I don't have any self-control. And he goes, yes, you do. You just don't practice it. I mean, we've been given it all.
Yeah.
But you have to practice.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to practice it. Oh, it's a good word for me. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah, you don't practice it. Yes?
I think in verse 8, it just struck me that you were talked about in these things will be increasing. My Bible says the balancing thing.
Uh-huh.
There's no static point. You are going to be increasing or abounding whether you're in a Christian mode or a non-Christian mode. That young lady is going to continue to grow whether into that sweatshirt or another sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So we have to continually watch where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep an eye on your own life.
Yes.
You know? Good. Thank you. Yes, sir.
It seems that we spend a lot of time looking for the fruits of life. I think that's a perfect balance that God created becomes.
You see,
some nuts in our lives too.
Millie. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Any other? Yes.
God uses and grows us up, each one of us. If we have the knowledge that God is real. And he uses circumstances, he uses pressures in our life, he uses sickness to strengthen us if we turn to him. And we all have, God has gave all of us gifts to help others, to help ourselves. And if we could focus on what gifts each of us have done so we can help others, it's an outpouring that God will use your life.
Yeah.
But it is through growth.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's good. You know, these things that are adding to our faith, they help us during the midst of the hard times. A lot of times we think of, we go into the hard times, and then what we need, we don't have. Because we haven't been diligent in the lean times. Because the hard times, it's when. Are we preparing for those times? And these things here help us to automatically respond to the hard times. Like the training that we do. And so it's important that we're adding these things in the lean times so that when they come, we're able to look it square in the face. And those hard times, there's a quote that a guy named Dallas Willard said, and it was about dying to self. It was about dying to self and how that when things are difficult for us or taken away from us, that we are neither surprised nor offended. Is that's when we've known that we've died to ourselves. And I'm going like, well, I'm a long ways away from that one. You know, that I'm not surprised. Oh, that's just kind of the way it goes. Nor am I offended. It's like, God, how could you? Why would you do that? But when we're adding these particular things to our faith, I don't know that, it's not to say that they won't, but I'm just going like, I think there's a lot more of assurance there that I'll be able to say, no, my God is faithful. I'll be able to say the things like Job said.
Yes.
You know, that comes from a place of faith that has been added to.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we're able to meet those hard times and difficulties head on with confidence that I know that my God is here, He's present with me, and He will not abandon me, even though I feel like that He is. The problem's not with Him, the problem is with me and my belief and faith that has been strengthened. So, yes?
This is not a formula to bypass the tough times, it's a formula to get through the tough times. People are still going to die of cancer.
Yes, absolutely.
But they're going to eternity with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, last thing right here. Oh, there's two. Okay. Dave, you didn't get to speak the first in the Sunday school hour, and you had a nugget I'm sure you wanted to share, and we're going to come to you, Sherry Lou, and then we're going to wrap it up. So
Mark, I really appreciate your approach to this. It's almost a grocery list that is presented here.
Yeah.
And yet, it must not be taken independently of other things.
Mm. Okay.
As I'm reflecting for myself, I love to slice and dice lists of scripture, lists of advice. Nice to go to word studies and parse the words out. And I enjoy that. Sometimes I will forget the wholeness of the picture. So this is not the sum total of the Christian life or that which gives us assurance. On the one hand, in the text we have the salvation that is alluded to. I lost the passage in here right now, but it's the idea that our salvation is grounded in our calling, and I think the word election is used. And if we're grounded in the theology of it, that's important. But it's not everything.
Right.
The grocery list of attributes of behavior, they're not everything. Both sides are part of the package.
Yes.
And then I reflect on the kind of person and experiences of Peter through his self-proclamation, I will never depart. I will never deny you. And then experiencing the opposite. How familiar that is for some of us, where we have proclaimed our gratefulness, our dependency upon God and what He has done for us, which is true and it should be done. But it cannot be done in a vacuum by itself.
Right.
If these things are true, these other things contribute to not falling. I may be able to cross my T's, dot all of my I's in the theology. But if it's vacant, if it does not include the application, I'm just as liable to follow.
Yeah.
To fall.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you spurring me to think about the next step is application. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for not asking a question, Dave, because I know I can't answer your questions. Good, thank you. Sherry Lou, last one right here.
Okay. I was thinking when you said the, adding knowledge to faith, that, just to encourage everyone in the body, to get in the Word of God, because that's how you really do that. On a disciplined daily level. But the other thing I wanted to say was when you were talking about Job, it reminded me of a wonderful example we had at our church this past summer. And it was when we had the fire. And I know that you all remember this if you were here. And our dear brother lost his home and all of his property. And he walked in the church and he said, what did he say? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that, he added knowledge to his faith.
Amen. Right? That's right.
And that was absolutely the best example.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's a great exclamation point on the local thing. So thank you so much for that, and God bless you guys. The clipboards got lost at the back and they stopped. So those of you who signed the clipboard on this side still need to get the clipboard that was over here. And those are both up here by my wife right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to put them in the back by the tree stump back there, and you guys can sort it out on which one you need to sign. So thank you so much, guys. Love coming to Tacoma. And so God bless you guys.
Mm-hmm. In Exodus 33:13, Moses had the courage to pray, show me thy ways that I might know thee. And it seems, Mark, that this song sums up the whole that you've done this morning, because where this takes us into the next part of the song even, and we'll go in your love. I think we can take the whole message and place it right in here as a prayer. Let's stand together.